To open our Bibles to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Invite you at home to open your Bible as well and follow along with us, and let's stand together in honor of the reading of God's Word tonight. Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Heavenly Father, as we look to you and your word this evening, we do realize that all of the wealth of the world, all of the wealth with which you've entrusted us, Lord, it's all yours, and you desire tithes and offerings from it. Lord, as we look at this tonight and this charge against Israel of robbing you, help us to understand it, to see the importance for Israel in Malachi's day, and to discern by your Spirit how that would apply to us this evening. And so, Lord, as this passage is open before us tonight, may we be open as well to receive what you would teach to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Malachi chapter 3, we have seen the promise of the Lord's messenger preparing the way for Jesus at his first coming, Malachi 3:1, and for Jesus at his second coming, Malachi 3:2, and that at his second coming he will be coming in judgment. So this is continuing that tonight, and a charge at the beginning of verse 7 is leveled by the Lord against Israel. Here is the charge. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. The Lord says to Israel in Malachi's day, you have turned aside. You've turned aside from the Word of God, from the Lord's teachings, principles, statutes. You have an entire chapter written far prior to Malachi in Psalms, Psalm 119, that talks about the importance of God's word and of keeping his statutes. Well, the charge is Israel historically, from the days of their fathers, had not kept and obeyed the word of God, and Israel presently had turned aside and was not keeping the statutes. That is the charge. Yet, throughout this book, they have been wondering, well, why is it that we don't see blessing from God? Why is it that the Lord is not showing us favor? Well, here again is the answer. Because you're turning away from the Lord. You're turning aside from his word. That's the beginning of verse 7. The middle of verse 7 is the Lord's call to Israel. It's an appeal for Israel to return to Yahweh. Return to me, he says in the middle of verse 7. Return to me. And there's a promise that when Israel returns to the Lord, that the Lord will return to them as well. The Lord is not desiring to show disfavor to Israel. He wants to show them his favor and his blessing. But they can't see it and can't experience it because they've turned aside from him. If they would return to him, the Lord will return to them and show that favor. The end of verse 7 is the challenge to the Lord's call. The Lord calls Israel to return. And at the end of verse 7, Israel says, how shall we return? Now, this is another rebellious question. Remember, I've given you the list, 10 rebellious questions throughout the book of Malachi. This is the 7th one. How shall we return? Lord, you mean us? You mean we haven't kept your statutes? You mean we need to return to you? Well, how can that be? How can we return? We don't know how. Their question, how shall we return? It's a display of ignorance on their part. Of course, they know how, but they're just denying that they need to. And it's denial, it's rebellion. How shall we return? This is another indication You know, people today say things like, well, you know, I would obey the Bible and follow what the Bible teaches, but how? I don't know how. Really? You don't know how? To say, I don't know how, is not an acceptable statement to God. He's given you His Word. He's told you how. Of course you know how. When you say, I don't know how, what you're really saying is, I don't have any intention of it. So it's a challenge. Return to you? We don't need to return to you. We haven't gone anywhere. We're fine. We're okay. But the Lord says, no, you need to return. So they're challenging His call. Now, what is the concern of the charge? How shall we return? And the Lord answers this rebellious question with a question of His own. Will a man rob God? And then the statement, yet you are robbing me. What's the concern of this charge? They were robbing God. Oh, robbing God? How can someone rob God? I mean, isn't He omnipotent and infinite? And if you did rob Him, would He even miss it? You know, He has everything. What do you mean, rob God? But the Lord says, you are robbing me. And they respond in verse 8 with another rebellious question. How have we robbed you? This is the 8th of 10 rebellious questions. How have we robbed you? Come on, God, you can't be robbed. How do we rob you? How have we done that? And the answer that the Lord gives of this concern is in the tithes and in the offerings. In the Hebrew text, there is the definite article in front of the word tithes and in front of the word offerings. So it's the tithes and the offerings. We're talking about prescribed ones. How are you robbing me? The Lord says, you're robbing me in the tithes and in the offerings. In the tithes. Now, the word tithe actually means a tenth or 10%. Tithing predated Moses and the law. Remember Abraham with Melchizedek? Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek a tenth of all of the spoils of war that Abraham had gained. He tithed to Melchizedek, a prefiguration of Christ, possibly a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ himself. Abraham tithed. Now, do you know? There is nothing said in the Bible before that that says you should tithe. How did Abraham know to do that? To tithe? Abraham didn't have the law. He didn't have any law that said tithe. How did Abraham know to do that? It obviously was ingrained from creation as a way of showing honor or tribute or even worship to someone. To give a tenth. It doesn't necessarily mean that when Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, that that was the first time anybody ever did it. Apparently, Abraham recognized, you know, that's what people do to show honor. It was built in from creation. In Genesis chapter 28, verses 20 through 22, Jacob tithed to the Lord. Jacob gave a tenth of all he had to the Lord as worship, as honor to the Lord. Both Abraham and Jacob were way before Moses. So why do we even point that out? There are those today, and we will see this over the next few moments. There are those who would say, well, tithing was taught in the law, but now in the New Testament church age, we are not under the law, therefore we don't need to consider anything about tithing at all. Well, just remember, tithing was built into the people of God, by God, before Moses was ever even alive, before there was the law of God. So tithing is not limited to the law. Just keep that in mind. Three tithes were required of Israel by the law. In Numbers chapter 18, you can find one of those. It was an annual tithe, 10% from all of the tribes of Israel for the support of the Levites. Remember, the Levites didn't inherit any land. Well, what was the physical inheritance of the Levites? It was a tithe from the people, from all the other tribes. Now, in the Old Testament, you know, was the tithe 10% of money? Well, it could have been. But often it was 10% of grains that were harvested, of food supply, of herds and flocks. It was 10% of everything, not just 10% of their annual income. It was 10% of whatever they had was given to the Levites. Now, in Numbers 18, the Levites also had to tithe, and they tithed to Aaron and the other priests. And so out of the tithe that was given to the Levites had to tithe to the high priest for his support. So everybody had to tithe, and this was an annual tithe once a year, 10% of everything you had annually. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 through 27, there was another annual tithe, and that was to supply for all of the feasts that were to be held. So whether that was Passover or Pentecost or the Feast of Trumpets or Tabernacles, 10% annually went to pay for all of that. Means everybody in Israel, according to the law, we're up to 20% now. Not just 10%, that's two annual tithes, 20%. There was a third tithe required by the law, Deuteronomy 14, 28 and 29, that was every 3 years, a triennial tithe, and that was for the support of the poor. So every third year, your tithe was 30%. If you averaged it out, that would be 23 1/3% per year. Okay, that was tithing under the law. Now, when in Malachi 3:8, the Lord says, "You have robbed me in the tithes." It is those prescribed tithes required by the law, three of them, that the Lord is speaking of. You're robbing me. You're not paying your tithes. You're robbing me. Well, how are we robbing you? Well, actually, you're robbing the Levites. and you're robbing the celebration of the Jewish festivals, and you're robbing the poor by not tithing according to the law. Robbing God also in the offerings. The definite article is before the word offerings as well. In the Old Testament, there were voluntary offerings. Leviticus 22, verses 17 through 33. Voluntary offerings. They're called free will offerings. Free will offerings is not a statement about the makeup or composition of a human being saying, you have a free will. That's not what it's saying. Free will offerings just mean they're voluntary. They're voluntary offerings. They're not required. They're offerings that you can give. You give them out of love, out of generosity. It's grace giving. But in Leviticus chapter 27, that whole chapter, you read about required offerings. There were not only voluntary offerings, there were offerings that were required by the law. So, for example, the first fruits offering, the first of your harvest, the first of your crops, was to go to the Lord as an offering. That was required by the law. The firstlings of flocks. So if you had baby sheep born, the first one would go to the Lord as an offering. If you had cattle, a cow was born, the first one would go to the Lord. And the same thing was true about their children. The firstborn son belonged to the Lord as an offering, and you would do that by substituting a financial payment that represented your firstborn son. Special offerings that were required. Now, when you add those special offerings to the 23 1/3% per year, probably people were giving somewhere between 25 and 30% of whatever their income was, whether that was financial or crops or herds or whatever it is. That is what they were giving on an annual basis. 25 to 30%. And if they weren't doing it, God was displeased. God said, you're robbing me. you're robbing me. Now, we'll come back to this question next time, but what about tithing today in the New Testament church? There is no command to the New Testament church to tithe. There's no command to tithe. And you would say, we are not under the law, so therefore the three tithes are not required of us. And you would be correct. We're not under the law. But remember, tithing predated the law. Tithing is a general principle. And you have a passage like 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 12 that teaches that we should give generously and sacrificially. Now, giving generously and sacrificially, say, well, what about 10%? Well, you know what? That might be a good recommended place to begin. Say, well, what if I can only begin with 2%? Well, then begin with 2%. But don't stop there. Begin there, but don't stop there. New Testament church age giving. Keep your place here in Malachi and turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Let's look at it tonight. Second Corinthians chapter 9. Starting at verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Give generously, and you will what? Reap generously. Give sparingly. Okay, here's how you would say it, stingily. You will reap stingily. Would you like to have overflowing abundance? Then give overflowing gifts. And so while tithing as a law is not prescribed for the New Testament church, you've never heard me preach that it was in all these years. It's not prescribed, but the principles are relevant. They are as relevant for you as they were for Abraham and Jacob before the law. And so tithing is a display of honor, of worship, of tribute. And yeah, 10% is a good place to start, but going beyond and giving more is the expectation of the New Testament, to give generously and sacrificially. So we'll come back to that next time. Malachi 3:9. The curse resulting from the charge of robbing God. Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you, all Israel. You're cursed with a curse. Deuteronomy chapter 28 laid out for Israel blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. This is a case of disobedience to the law of God. You read Deuteronomy 28, starting at verse 15 through verse 68, you'll see some of those curses: drought, famine, pestilence, sickness, enemy attacks, and so forth. That is what the Lord is saying here. Israel, you have drought, and they did. You have famine. You have pestilence. You have enemies that attack you, and they did. Do you know what? That is a curse for your disobedience to God. Now, that curse was a curse under the law. And you might say tonight, well, just like tithing is not required in the New Testament, I can't be cursed if I violate this either. No, not as under the law. You can't. But, again, the principles do apply. Here's what was happening for Israel. And you understand this because you've heard it. So someone in Israel would say, Well, I can't do the prescribed tithes, 23 1/3%, and the prescribed offerings a little bit more. I can't do that because I don't have enough. You ever heard anybody say something like that? Well, I can't give. Why? I don't have enough. Well, that's what Israel was saying. I can't do this because I don't have enough. So I will keep some of that for myself. By attempting to keep more, what did they end up with? Less. By attempting to keep more, they ended up with drought and famine and pestilence and sickness and attacks and all of that. By attempting to keep more, say, well, I'll withhold from God and then I'll have more money, more herds, more flocks for myself. No, you won't. Because the Lord's way of giving you more is through your giving. The Lord gives to givers. The Lord doesn't give to takers and keepers. He gives to givers. So by attempting to keep more, they ended up with less, because the curse was taking from them. You see, the question in this passage, and they had asked rebellious questions, how shall we return? How have we robbed you? The question isn't really, okay, Israel, what do you want? And how do you want to do it? How do you want to worship? And then the Lord says, okay, I'll give you what you want. How do you want to do it? No, the question is, how does God want to be worshiped? See, they were robbing God. Say, well, is that money or those herds and flocks or grain, is that really that important to God? No. God can make herds and flocks and grain anytime he wants to. He's not running short of those things. What were they robbing God of? His honor. They were robbing God of worship that was due him. The tithe was a built-in display of honor and tribute. And they weren't doing it. They were robbing God of worship. Say, well, I want a worship form where I can do it any way I want to. You know, it's become almost assumed now in our culture. You just come as you are to worship. I want to do it the way I want to do it. I'll come the way I am to worship. The better question is, How does God want to be worshiped? Do you know? Maybe the Lord doesn't want you the way you are. Say, oh, that's offensive. Nobody says that anymore. No, you must be acceptable to God. You know, the phrase that's used in modern Christianity is, will you accept Christ? You do know that question isn't in the New Testament. How about this question? Has Christ accepted you? And Christ accepts you on the basis of your faith in the gospel. He doesn't accept you just the way you are. He accepts you in himself, in his salvation that he gives. And then he says, okay, now worship me. Well, how should we worship you? Well, giving is part of that. Giving is part of that. Enjoying the style of music does not appear anywhere in the whole Bible as worship. Whatever style it is you think you enjoy. But worshiping God is required, and you do it His way. The question isn't, well, what did I get out of that church service? The question is, what did the Lord receive out of that church service? Say, well, what did God give me? Okay, well, the Lord will give you plenty. But what have you given Him in worship? And that's what's being dealt with here in this passage. And to not worship in that way, God calls you a thief. God says, you're robbing me. You're robbing me of my honor. You're robbing me of worship. You're robbing me of the tribute that is due me. So, for Israel to return to the Lord, what did they need to do? They needed to begin to bring the tithe that was honor and tribute and worship to the Lord. And that's where we'll pick up next time. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this word. And Lord, there are many people hearing this message tonight that give. They give sacrificially and faithfully and generously, and they also know your good hand of provision and blessing upon their lives. Perhaps there are some hearing this message tonight that do not give faithfully, generously, sacrificially. They try to hold on and they worry about it all. Lord, by your Spirit, work in them tonight, that they might be faithful, generous givers, not only in response to need, but Lord, as acts of loving worship to you. Thank you, Lord, for all of your provision for us. And as we look to this week to come, we look to you to provide for our needs and to provide opportunities for us as well, to show forth the light of your truth and your gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.